All right, what's up, everybody? I am back for season two, finally. I know I talked about this for a long time now. It's been a long time in the making, and I couldn't find a better way to start this off than inviting a good friend of mine, James Anderson, here to do the first episode with me. James is a personal trainer out of Akron. He's an entrepreneur. He's the owner of Anderson Ambition and Anderson Aesthetic Decor. He has a long list of accolades, right? I don't want to hype him up too much, but you know, some of the things that he's done: 50 mile run, half Ironman, bodybuilding, Mr. Ohio. He has placed second in national. He has attempted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, going back for round two in the fall. He has spent a week over in Thailand training Muay Thai. He's completed the Spartan Ultra, which is a 50K obstacle course race, if you've never heard of Spartan, among all sorts of other things. Welcome, James. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah. Well,
quite the intro.
Yeah. Well, you know, well deserved, right? And especially since I know kind of where you came from, right? And I know it always hasn't been the way that it is now and heading in the direction that it is now. So, you know, do me a favor, take me back like 10, 15 years and just give us an idea of, you know, kind of where you were at that time. And
yeah. So, let's see, 10 years ago, I'm 34. 10 years ago, I was 24. What year would that have been? 2012. So 10 years ago, I was actually 10 years ago, I was in prison.
Okay.
So yeah, 10 years ago, I was in prison for drug trafficking, and I would have just gotten out like in November, like 2 days before, or no, 2 days after Thanksgiving. So I'd have, you know, I'd still have a few months to go. But yeah, so I pretty much struggled with substance abuse since I was 15 years old. It started with, you know, alcohol and then weed, and then progressively got worse into pain pills, and then heroin and crack and pretty much whatever I could get my hands on. And then to support that addiction, I sold drugs as well. And I wasn't very good at it because I kept getting caught. And so I did, you know, 08, I did 4 months. In 09, I did 8 months. And then in 2011, I did 18 months. And that was my last time incarcerated. I got out in November of 2012. And then I started using again and pretty much, you know, destroyed my life. And funny enough, having been in prison and having an extended period of time where I wasn't using and I was able to kind of like physically get healthy, I felt like very broken in active addiction the very last time. Like all the times prior, it was just kind of like whatever I needed to do to get by, to survive. But this very last time, I just had this feeling that I wasn't meant to live life the way I was living it. And about 9 months after getting out, I reached out. Well, I went to a 12-step meeting and then reached out to my family and asked them for help. And I went to treatment. And that's pretty much when everything turned.
Okay. So what was that whole process like? You mentioned feeling broken, right? And I know that that's a big thing for a lot of addicts on, why they use, but, you know, kind of take me through not necessarily the war stories that led up to that, but just that inner turmoil, that battle within, you know, feeling broken, you know, what was that whole thing like within you, right? That mindset that you were in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say it was a spiritual breaking point for sure. In the past, you know, typically I would burn everything to the ground. I would have no job, no license, no car, you know, living, doing couch surfing, sleeping wherever I can until I was inevitably caught for violating probation or whatever. And then I'd get locked up for a couple months and then I'd get out and I'd tell myself, like, you know, okay, well, this time I just won't use this substance. I'll use these substances and I'll be okay. Except I never was. And this last time, I would say, you know, the difference was that I knew what it felt like to not wake up dope sick for an extended period of time. Like, I knew what it felt like to be able to make my own choices and not be like a slave to the disease of addiction. And because I had had a taste of that while I was locked up in prison, and my life went so like downhill so fast when I started using again, I like the contrast was too much. I was just so unhappy living the way that I was living. And I felt like I had tried everything to try and change that, except ask for help and do the rehab thing. You know, it was the one thing that I'd never done. I felt like personally at the time, I felt like the answer for me long-term was the 12 steps, but I could not stop using long enough, like, to get clean. And so I remember I was, you know, I was waiting on a dope boy, and I just felt so hopeless and powerless and desperate. And I hated feeling like I had no control over my life. And that, you know, it just seemed like there was no real direction on where I was going to go other than dying. I was sure that if I kept doing what I was doing, I was going to die. And I felt like that wasn't what my higher power had planned for me. You know, it sure as hell wasn't what my parents had planned for me. So yeah, I mean, I still had a car. I had a driver's license. I had a job. You know, things seemingly weren't that bad. But spiritually, I was just not, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted something more for my life. And I knew that in order to have that, the first place I had to start was getting clean.
Okay. So from addict to prison to being broken and hopeless to personal training and starting your own businesses, owning your own businesses, you have two of them now. I know you've had other endeavors in the past, you know, over the last few years, you've taken your life to what most people would think is like this incredible level, right? You're constantly challenging yourself. You've worked with a lot of clients over time. So why the area that you chose of personal training and personal development and growth? Why there?
Yeah. So pretty much when I first got clean, I had nothing, right? I was using all my time was spent using or working. So when I got clean, I had to find something to do to fill that time. And I was pretty into exercising while I was locked up. And so I knew that was something I enjoyed. I knew I liked like physically challenging myself and being fit. And so that was something I started pursuing as soon as I got clean. And I needed something to build myself up, like emotionally, self-esteem, confidence. I needed something. So I started there. And at first it was just something that I was doing for me. And through the step working process, you know, I kind of realized that by changing my insights or by changing the way I think and view the world, I was changing my actual world in real life. Like my life was changing. I was getting, you know, I'd gotten a better job. I had some things that were starting to go in the right direction. I was mending relationships with my family, and I was able to see that if I was able to do that with what I was given in the steps, then if I was to take that to a higher level, I felt like I could do much more. So I really started pursuing personal development and trying to understand self-esteem, confidence, psychology. And then that kind of stemmed into wanting to learn about marketing and entrepreneurship and watching podcasts and reading blogs and kind of voraciously consuming anything that I could use to learn to make myself a better man and to move my life in a better direction. I have, you know, a fairly extensive criminal history and felt like if I wanted the life that I have today, I was going to have to do things a bit differently than most people would, because a lot of, you know, higher paying jobs were out of reach with, you know, my felony background or things that I would have wanted to do. So as I progressed and learned and, you know, taught myself different things, essentially I was like rewiring my brain, you know, like I was changing my values and my beliefs and getting rid of limited beliefs that had held me back for, you know, a decade. And the more I learned, the more I grew, and the better my life got, the more references I had to show that it worked. Because every time I accomplished something new, I was able to, I had this like list of things that I had done. I had this list of things that, you know, had shown like proof that it worked. And so as I accomplished more and more things, my confidence and my belief grew in what I was capable of doing. And I just learned to set the bar very high and then do my best to get there.
You know, and some people would say that that's almost setting yourself up, right, for failure. And a lot of people say, don't set the bar too high. Don't go above and beyond with your dreams, because ultimately all the failures that add up along the way are going to tear you down and they're going to keep you from doing anything with your life. So how do you keep doing it? How do you continue to strive for more and more and continue to challenge yourself, right? And I'm going to use the reference of Mount Kilimanjaro, right? I know when I knew you when you went over there to do that and you didn't make it to the top. Right. And most people would find something like that and they would fail trying to conquer that. And they'd never go back. They'd take that as a failure and not move on. But you're going back, right? And you continue to do things in all these different areas. How do you overcome that, those obstacles, those struggles, those that like this, that hardship, and then continuously pursue something bigger and better?
You know, someone told me, if you shoot for the moon and fall short, you'll land in the stars. And that stuck with me. If I set my goal too small, when I accomplish that goal, I haven't really gotten very far. I'm a much bigger proponent of setting very high goals and then becoming the man I need to become in order to reach them, because that process excites me. Like, I love it. And like the Kilimanjaro reference, not going back had never crossed my mind. Like, I had already chosen the dates while I was still in Africa that I was coming back, because I'm not one who does not accomplish his goals. Like, failing, if I fail at something, it's a learning experience, and it's, you know, it's something that I use to get me to that inevitable goal. So Kilimanjaro is the one thing on my list that Kilimanjaro was a humbling experience. And that may be exactly what I needed in my life at that time. You know, there was no way for me to know how my body would adapt to the altitude. There was no way for me to know that I should have been on this medication that these other people in my group were on that helps your, you know, body build up more red blood cells and helps you absorb more oxygen. I was arrogant and felt like, you know, I've done all these other things, so how hard can this be? And it turned out to be real fucking hard. And I almost died. So I knew that I had to go back, because I can't leave something undone. It's just the way that my brain operates today. And I mean, COVID messed a lot of things up. This is going to be 4 years since I was there, right? I mean, I could have found a million reasons to not go back, and nobody would have even remembered. People would have just let it go. And it would have been something that I tried to do but didn't accomplish. And people, you know, that would have been good enough. But I would know, you know, I know that I didn't finish. And it's haunted me for 4 years. So I'm ready to go back and get this done and knock it off the list and have some freedom from that, so that I can, you know, set the bar even higher. I'm a big fan of seeing what I'm capable of doing. And I think that people underestimate themselves so greatly, because, you know, I was a junkie fresh out of prison, you know, eight and a half years ago. And now, you know, I'm doing things like this, but it could have easily not been this, right? If I didn't believe that this was possible for me, then I wouldn't be where I am. Really, like, belief, self-belief, belief in your ability to do these things or to do anything is such an important part of the process. And people don't give themselves enough credit, and they don't stick things out long enough to see what they're capable of.
Nice. Cool. I got two more questions for you. I know you got to get going. One is because I love it so much, right? I got on your website again, and I remembered your like tagline, your slogan, right? And from struggle comes purpose. Is that right?
Yeah.
Real briefly, just what does that mean?
So to me, it means that I think that people struggle in life in different ways. And you have two options there. When you struggle, you can look at it as something that's happening to you, a hardship that you have to face, and you can be the victim in the situation. Or you can look at it as something that is building you into the person that you need to become in order to face whatever's coming down the road. And so my past and the things that I struggled with over the years made me into the man that I am today in some fashion or another, right? I don't believe that things happen to us. I think that things happen and we assign them meaning. And so I choose to look at things in a way that empowers me instead of, you know, disempowers me.
Awesome. I like the usage of words there, that you choose to look at life like that. I think that's really a key element there in just having that, the freedom of choice, right? Like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Earlier. All right. Last thing, right? And this is for anybody that's listening out there, anybody that's watching this. Everything that you've done, everything that you came from, everything that you've experienced and learned along your journey, if there was one thing that you could give anybody else, any kind of information, any insight, any wisdom, whatever it is, that could help them overcome any obstacle that they face, whatever it is that they're struggling with right now, what would that be?
You know, that's a tough one. But I really do. I think that looking internally, I think that people are often focused on changing things outside of themselves and thinking that that may be the solution to their problem. And I really do believe that, like, we have the answers, and that a lot of it is comes back on us and how we choose to view the situation at hand, right? Trying to live in the solution and not the problem. I think that believing that you are equipped to handle whatever is happening in your life, and then searching for a way through it, not around it or out of it, but through it, and then feeling it and letting it become a part of you so that you can let it go and move forward and move on with your life. I think that's very important.
Awesome. Great stuff. Well, James, I really appreciate you doing this. It's great. I'm glad to be able to launch the podcast again. You as my first guest. I can't wait until you go back to Kilimanjaro. I can't wait to see you do the Ironman. Hopefully I see you this July out in Bloomingdale for the Spartan.
I'll be there.
And, you know, I just thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. You have a good day. Everybody else, I will be back soon. Take care, man.
Take care.